TED Audio Collective.
Okay, we're friends here, right? And we all have those little things we do to make ourselves feel better, our rituals, our small indulgences. Well, I'm going to tell you one of mine. Most Sundays, my evening meal is pizza and a cookie. I don't know how this started, but I know that it makes me really happy. It's just the best. But on Sunday night, I have to contend with the realities of the empty pizza box. It can't be recycled, so I jam it in the trash or rip it up into pieces, which makes me wonder, where does it go? And what resources went into making it? And how might a small box like this make a big impact on our environment? Because let's face it, we've all developed some pretty damaging consumption habits. We buy too many clothes, ship too many packages, eat too many pizzas that come in boxes, and it's systemic. The things we consume are often produced by people looking for the cheapest options, and that's taking a toll on our planet, depleting old growth forests and more. So how can we become smarter, more sustainable producers and consumers? I mean, can we have our pizza and eat it too? I'm Madhu Bakinola. This is TED Business. Our speaker today, Nicole Rycroft, is not here to tell us that we have to stop eating pizza. Big picture, she's here to radically transform our supply chains. And on a micro level, she's here to tell us that there could be a better pizza box out there. A box that will allow us to enjoy our Sicilian slice and our planet. And her reasoning applies to so many of the things we consume daily. Then after the talk, I'll discuss how to get creative with the resources we have around us. But first, a quick break.
You're growing a business, and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate, no coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Blockchain, NFTs, AI. What does this mean for you and me? I'm Sherelle Dorsey, host of the TED Tech Podcast, where we bring you the latest innovations and biggest ideas in tech. Tech is evolving fast and it affects our lives, from the metaverse to the watches on our wrists. You'll learn why people in AI make good business partners, about our future self-driving robo-taxi, what the next generation of Siri, Alexa, Google looks like, and a lot more. Find TED Tech on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Perhaps it's surprising that as a professional tree hugger, I'm going to be speaking to you about supply chains. They don't sound very sexy, but when it comes to stabilizing our climate, supply chains are the hottest topic on the planet. And that's because more than half of our society's carbon footprint can be attributed to the impact of supply chains, and specifically the raw materials that products are made from. We have built our societies around take, make, waste production systems, the fossil fuel industry, plastics, industrial forestry, and paper. These are massive global supply chains that have shaped our world. They've left deep scars across landscapes, legacies of pollution, and push species and cultures to the brink of extinction. Now, on the other hand, we have game-changing solutions. Brilliant innovations that use 90% less water and 50% less energy, but they're stuck at small scale because they can't secure the financing that they need to commercialize, nor the markets that underpin their success. It's the classic chicken and egg situation, and even with slow progress, we're losing ground to the climate crisis and biodiversity loss. This at a moment when we need all hands on deck for our planet. We must scale solutions, and we must scale them quickly. And this is not just about doing less bad. That time has passed. We need the 2.0 industrial revolution, one that sets us on course to operate and live within the natural bounds of our planet. And so overhauling these huge and powerful entrenched industrial systems, it can appear daunting. But I've seen how change can be successful up close with the work that I've been doing for the past 20 years. For my organization, Canopy, our focus is on protecting the world's ancient and endangered forests and transforming the massive pulp, paper packaging, and viscose supply chains. But the principles from those supply chains can be applied to any sector in need of change. Keeping forests standing is one of the fastest, cheapest, most effective ways for us to stabilize our climate. But of course, we can't keep forests standing if we keep mowing them down to make pizza boxes and rayon t-shirts. The surge in e-commerce and fashion derived from tree-based textiles like rayon and viscose is driving the destruction of climate-critical forests and creating mountains of discarded textiles and packaging. We must move our supply chains out of forest ecosystems. And to do that, we need to change the business practices of thousands of brands. And that's where we come in. Canopy works to create the market conditions for change by working with hundreds of the forest industry's largest customers. First, to eliminate the use of ancient and endangered forest fiber from their packaging and their textile supply chains, and now increasingly to introduce lower carbon circular next-gen alternatives. Get rid of the bad, phase in, scale up the good. These companies are often fierce competitors in the rest of their business operations, but they're willing to come together in a pre-competitive space because they know that no single company, no matter how large they are, can transform an entire supply chain by themselves, nor can they solve the climate crisis. And the CEOs of these company suppliers, giant companies responsible for 90% of global viscose production and half of packaging, can sit around a single boardroom table. Imagine that. The outsized influence of this small group of suppliers can unlock ambitious levels of change through their collective supply chains. And of course, the same can be said for other sectors as well. Supply chain transformation starts when you have a critical mass of brands telling their suppliers that they need to change, that they have zero tolerance for packaging and textiles that originate from the world's endangered forests, that they want lower carbon circular next-gen alternatives, and giving their suppliers a short timeline to achieve that target. And this strong market pull-through for low carbon alternative creates the value proposition for conventional producers to change business as usual practice, to fund the new tech, to develop the systems to replace tree fiber with these lower carbon, more circular feedstocks like discarded clothing and agricultural residues, and then to build the systems to make sure that these new feedstocks can then make their way to the new next-gen pulp mills. At Canopy, we call this strategy survival, a pulp thriller. Thank you. So, industry leaders demand change, suppliers respond, it creates value that moves investment, the pipeline of solutions is buoyed, and you have a supply chain well on its way to sustainable change. Canopy's early work, greening the Harry Potter book series, has grown to working with brands that represent $1 trillion. These companies are changing the packaging and the viscose textiles that they're buying based on the environmental qualities. And it is this leverage that has enabled us to shift more than half of global viscose out of the world's ancient and endangered forests. And now we're working with our brand partners, with conventional producers, with investors, and with brilliant innovators to scale climate-resilient supply chains for the 21st century. And in fact, the world's first next-gen mill is now up and running. It's a giant industrial mill built in the bones of an old shuttered wood mill in northern Sweden. And rather than requiring huge swaths of forest to be cut every year, Renewcell will use hundreds of millions of old jeans and T-shirts. It's re-employed 100 people. It uses 90% less water and 5 tons less carbon per ton of product compared to a conventional tree-based rayon. Renewcell is a spectacular swords to plowshares example, and it is the first of hundreds of next-gen mills that are on track to be operational by 2030 as our strategy unfolds and boosted by the generous support of the TED community. It's heartening and remarkable to see the viscose supply chain transforming in real time and proving that solutions are indeed sexy. But it mustn't stop there, because many of our production systems and supply chains are unsustainable and in need of change. The food system, plastics, paper-based packaging. For every sector, there is a more sustainable path forward, and the solutions and the people needed to make them happen are often closer than we think. When we create the right market conditions, change can happen exponentially and quickly. Carbon-intensive supply chains are relics of the 20th century. Let's leave them back there. Thank you.
Support for TED Business comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/TEDbusiness. That's odoo.com/TEDbusiness. Odoo, modern management made simple. You know, when I visit my family in West Africa or travel elsewhere around the globe, the food doesn't always come in plastic containers. I've had it given to me in a banana leaf, a corn husk. The point is, we can get creative. As Nicole tells us, the solutions are there. I mean, can a sister just enjoy her pizza? But I also want a planet that's going to be healthy and habitable for me and generations to come, which has gotten me thinking about other simple pleasures I enjoy that need to be reimagined. So my second confession, I love fashion. It's part of how I express myself, but the industry is famous for producing lots of waste. From the consumer side of things, that can be remedied in a lot of different ways. One of my favorites is through resale vintage shops. I can't tell you the fabulousness of the things I've purchased from consignment stores and thrift shops all over the world. And there are always options available for all kinds of budgets. Beyond secondhand stores, there are different programs where stuff you want to give away, like old jeans, can be sent in and recycled instead of going to the landfill. This means I'm still going to get my Sunday pizza and my Sunday cookie. I just might not ask for a box. I'm still going to buy new clothes, but sometimes they just might be gently used. The point is, I'm going to enjoy the things I enjoy, but with a new understanding of the bigger picture. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Pushkin Industries and fact-checked by Hana Matsudaira. Special thanks to Alejandra Salazar, Michelle Quint, Corey Hagem, and Colin Helms. I'm Madhu Bakinola. Talk to you again next week.